Now, concerning the matters about which he wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, that husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as myself am. But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. To the rest I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you save your wife? Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray and then we'll get stuck in. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence and we pray that you would make Scripture our guide and your Holy Spirit our teacher and your greater glory our supreme concern. In Jesus' name, amen. Christians live twice. This life now, this is our first life, and it ends at death. After death comes our second life, that second life never ends. If you're trusting the Lord Jesus, God has promised you, you are going to live twice, now and again after death. God has guaranteed this by raising Jesus from the dead. And we saw last week that just as God raised Jesus from the dead, so by his power, he will raise us who believe in him. What happened to Jesus, what happened to every Christian believer? And that's true because God has joined believers and made us one with Jesus. Christians live twice. Therefore, this life now, this is our spare life. We've been saying that throughout the series. And the point tonight is that wherever you are in this spare life, you can please the Lord there. You don't need to leave here and go there. You don't need to change your outward circumstances. You don't need a relationship you don't currently have. You don't need to leave a relationship you do currently have. You don't need a different job. You don't need a different passport. Wherever you are with the health, the finances, the relationships, with the stuff of life that you have, there you can please the Lord. Even tonight in the evening service, we've got different passports, different jobs, different relationships. Paul wants us to see those things don't define us and they don't satisfy us. And they're good, but they don't define or satisfy us. And so you and I, we could change some of these things, relationships, jobs, passports, or you could change all of them. But changing them will not bring you out of this life and into the life to come, the second life. And so throughout chapter 7, God is teaching really one big truth. You can find it there on the first verse on the handout, verse 24. So, brothers and sisters, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Where you are, you can please the Lord. Which means verses 1 to 16, firstly, you can stay married or you can stay single. The Corinthian church had written to Paul, and in verse 1, Paul quotes what they wrote. They were saying something like, look what great Christians we are, we're saying no to sex. Verse 1, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. And Paul answers and says, no, you've got it totally wrong. If you are married, then actually say yes to sex. Important note, missing phrase on the handout, with your spouse, just to clarify that. That's what Paul says in verse 2. Because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. And the word have there doesn't mean get married. It means if you are married, how can I put this politely? Be one with your wife or your husband. Have sex with your spouse. And Paul says it again and again. Verse 3, give each other your married rights. Verse 4, you belong to each other, so give yourselves to each other. Verse 5, do not deprive each other. And Paul says, well, listen, you might possibly agree together to skip date nights so that you can pray together. But if you do agree on that, don't do that very often and for long. Verse 5, come together again so that Satan may not tempt you. If you are married, sex is God's good gift to you. It is not unclean, it is not unspiritual. The Lord has given it. And so Paul says, if you're married, stay married. Say yes to sex. And then skipping a bit that we'll come back to, verses 10 to 16, if you're married, say no to separating. Many marriages go through hard times, but if you call Jesus Lord, don't leave the marriage you're in so that you can then better serve the Lord, either with another spouse or being single. Look with me at verse 10. To the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from the husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And the husband should not divorce his wife. Paul says, if you're married, stay married. Say no to separating. And Paul then imagines that some of the Corinthians say, yeah, but Paul, you don't understand, I'm married to an unbeliever. Well, verse 12, Paul has no direct word from the Lord on this. He doesn't have a specific teaching of the Lord Jesus. So Paul applies what Jesus says about marriage in general to this specific case of Christians married to non-Christians. Paul says, if you're married to a non-Christian, don't leave him or her. Do not separate, do not divorce. And Paul then goes on to say, well, listen, that being married to an unbeliever, to a non-Christian, that doesn't make your marriage unclean or invalid. Actually, you are a blessing to them. And if you have any children, you're a blessing to your children too. And so therefore, stay married. Verse 16, how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Stay married, keep praying, and where you can, keep telling them about Jesus and ask the Lord to work. You can please the Lord wherever you are. If you're married, that means say yes to sex and say no to separating. What about if you're single? Well, in the middle of the marriage section, did you notice verses 6 to 9, Paul addresses that issue. And Paul says, if you're single, say yes to singleness and to marriage, or to marriage. Look with me at verse 8. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. Being single, Paul says, is good, not bad. And if you're single, that is good, not bad. Verse 7, if you're single, God has given you singleness as a gift. If you then later get married, God will give you a different gift, just like a married person who's then widowed will be given the gift of singleness again. But right now, if you're single, God has gifted you singleness. I know that for many of us who are single, that doesn't always feel like a gift. Sometimes it feels more like a burden. And yet Paul is so very clear here. Singleness is a good gift. It is such a good gift that Paul says, I wish everyone was single. I wish every Christian was single. And therefore Paul says, you can say yes to singleness. That language there of gift in verse 7, In the letter to the Corinthians, gift means more than a present that you unpack for you yourself. Gifts are what you are given to serve others. That becomes really clear later on when Paul talks about spiritual gifts that are to be used for building others up. And so Paul is saying, if you're married, God has given you your marriage so you can build other people up in the faith. If you're single, God has given you your singleness so you can build other people up in the faith. Our gifts aren't for you. So if you're single, you can say yes to singleness, but you can also say yes to marriage. That's verse 9. Paul is a very practical pastor. He's a very loving pastor. He says, listen, if you can't exercise self-control, then look for someone to marry. It is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now, Paul knows there is more to finding a husband or a wife than just being struggling with lust. This is not all he says about the topic of marriage. The point that he wants us to grasp is that whether you're single or married, in the end of the day, that is not ultimate. That is just the stuff of this life, this spare life. And in this spare life, what really matters is serving the Lord. And it doesn't matter where you are, because wherever you are, you can please the Lord. Just think with me about how living twice changes how we view on this. If you live once, you need a bucket list. Do you know the phrase bucket list? You know, 10 things to do before you die. If you live once, you need a bucket list, and you need it all crossed off, because you won't get a second chance, will you? You can't miss out on anything. You need everything Hollywood offers. And in one sense, if you think you only live once, your life is governed by the fear of missing out, isn't it? We look at what other people have and we think, oh, I wish I could have that too. But if you know that you'll live twice, you can look at folk who've got different gifts to you and you can say, well, that's great for you, I can miss out on some of those spare gifts now because I'm going to miss nothing in my second life and the life to come. 1 Corinthians 3, all things are ours in Christ. And because I won't miss out then, today, now, I can get on with serving the Lord, with pleasing him. And I can please Jesus whether I'm single or whether I'm married. Do you see the big point? Wherever you are, you can please the Lord there. You can stay married or stay single. Verses 17 to 24, you can actually stay wherever you are. And because this principle doesn't just apply to relationships, Paul expands it and he tells us his principle three times and gives two examples. Because he wants us to realize God's goodness is not found over there while we're over here. And we need to look over the fence and we wish that we had it. Paul wants us to see that God's goodness is found where we are. And so he tells us three times, God is good to you where you are. Verse 17, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him, and to which, or better translation, in which God has called him. In which God has called him is a better translation, because whenever Paul speaks of God calling, he always means that the work God does in creating faith and recreating us in Jesus, in bringing us to Jesus. That is what God's call means in Paul. So verse 17, verse 20, each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Verse 24, so brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. And then Paul gives two examples, your passport and your job. Verses 18 to 19, your passport. If you're ethnically Jewish, Paul says, don't try to hide it or change it. You don't need to hide your background or hide your passport. Instead, verse 19, focus on keeping God's commandments, which in the context are probably the commandments God gives through Paul on sexual immorality in chapter 6. It doesn't matter what passport you have, what background, what heritage, what nationality you have. What matters is doing what the Lord says. God has called you to the Lord Jesus, serve him. The second example is there in verses 21 to 23, and that's job status. Many in the Roman world were slaves in some form or another. And slaves in that context didn't just mean people in chains, it just meant people working. And so I think for this example, instead of bondservant or slave, just think employee, Angestellter. So some employees had good bosses, some employees had very bad bosses. Look at verse 21. Paul says, don't be concerned about it. Don't stress. Your boss and how he treats you, that is not ultimate. That is not forever. That does not define you. What does define you? Well, verse 22, Jesus. If you're an employee and a Christian, you're a freed man of the Lord Jesus, or a freed woman. And if you are free, if you're your own boss, then you're a servant of the Lord Jesus. You belong to Jesus, not your boss, not yourself. And therefore, Paul's point is, wherever you are, you can stay there. But you don't have to. Look with me at verse 21. If you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. Take the opportunity. When Paul said earlier, you can stay married, he meant you can do it. Du schaffst das. And God will give you the grace for it. Stay where you are. The Lord Jesus wants you to stay married, and to leave that marriage would be a sin. When Paul says here, you can stay a bondservant, you can stay in that job, he means, well, you could stay there. But you could also get a different job, and if that opportunity comes along, go for it. It's not a sin to stay there, and it's not a sin to leave that job and go there. You can do either. But don't think that changing your job from here to there, don't think that will bring you closer to God. Don't think that will bring you into your second life, the forever life. God's called you where you are. God's made you a freed person of the Lord Jesus, a free servant of Jesus where you are. You can remain with God. Those are wonderful words, aren't they? You can remain where you are with God because the Father has adopted you, because the Son has made you a member of his body, because the Holy Spirit has made you his temple if you're a Christian. You can remain with God because God is with you. God is so much committed to being with you that his Son left heaven for earth and went to the cross and took a death he didn't need to die so that he might make us his own forever. Condemned in our place so that we could live with him. You can remain with God wherever you are and be confident you could not be any more known, any more loved, any more cared. And if God were to change the outward circumstances in your life that you wish he would change, he would not love you any more if he did it. He has given you all his love in Jesus already. You can stay wherever you are. You can please the Lord wherever you are. Last section. Deep breath, slug of water, keep on going. This is then also true if you're engaged, verses 25 to 40, if you're verlobed. You can stay engaged. In this last section, Paul has no direct command from the Lord Jesus, and so he gives apostolic advice. And probably there were only one or two engaged couples in Christchurch Corinth. So in one sense, Paul is speaking for them, but to the whole church. He wants all the church to know about this. And what does he want the church to understand? You can please the Lord where you are. So again, Paul gives his advice, verse 26. It's good for a person to remain as he is. Verse 27, that means if you're engaged, stay engaged. If you're single, you can stay single. But verse 28, if you marry, you've not sinned. Now, you could stay engaged, but you don't have to. You're free to choose. Now, why does Paul give this advice? Why does he say, you can choose which way you go here? Two reasons. Firstly, verses 29 to 31, because of this present distress. That's the phrase Paul uses, verse 26. We know from 1 Corinthians that life, when in the Mediterranean, when Paul was writing, life was not easy. Chapter 11, there was a plague, an illness of some sorts in the city, and some of the church had died. Chapter 15, Paul says he is in danger every day. Chapter 16, there is a famine in the region. And therefore, I think that this present distress refers probably to an exceptionally difficult period of time. Time of famine and pandemic. You know, life is hard for all of us in some ways, but life does get particularly hard at some times, doesn't it? Think COVID. And Paul describes this time a little bit like it's the end of the world. Verse 29, the appointed time has grown very short. Verse 31, the present form of this world is passing away. And he wants us to know why do famines and pandemics feel a bit like the end of the world? And because they are part of the world ending. Ever since Jesus rose from the dead, this world has been in birth pains as it dies to give birth to a new world. The last 2,000 years have been the last dying breaths of this current world as it births the new that will come about when the Lord Jesus returns. That's how the Bible understands earthquakes and famines and heat waves. The last breaths of a dying world before the new world is born. And you know, life doesn't always feel that distressing, but sometimes it really does. Again, think of how we found life during COVID. Therefore, verse 30, because this world is passing, don't hold on to the stuff of this age too tightly. The present distress. Second reason, verses 32 to 35, divided priorities. unmarried Christians have no spouse to care for. They are free to prioritise the things of the Lord, Paul says. They're free to please the Lord in body and spirit, being holy in body and spirit. Married Christians, on the other hand, they do have a spouse to care for. They have divided interests. And Paul wants to free the Corinthians from worries so that they are fully devoted to the Lord. Those are Paul's two reasons. Let me just steal something from the Q&A for that second reason. If you start thinking about that one, it becomes clear that Paul doesn't want you to see that as an absolute bit of advice. Because to be a Christian is to belong to a church. To belong to a church is to love the other people in the church. To love the other people in the church is to care for the other people in the church. To care for them is to be anxious about their good. So even if you just take what Paul is saying within the logic of what he said about belonging to a church in 1 Corinthians, it's not absolute advice. He's just wanting us to think things through. Well, those are the two reasons, three conclusions. First conclusion, if you are engaged, you can marry. Look at verse 36. You can marry if you're not behaving properly to your fiancé, probably in your thought life. If your passions are strong, you really want to marry her. And if it has to be and you just really want to, Paul says, go for it, get married. It's not a sin. Second conclusion, you could, however, wait. You could delay your engagement. Verse 37, if you're convinced that waiting is the best thing to do, if you've got lust under control, if you are really convinced this is the best thing to do, you could keep her as your betrothed. I don't think that means you keep the woman you're engaged to until the Lord Jesus returns. I don't think the ladies in Corinth, in the Christchurch Corinth, would have found that very funny. And I don't think many women find that funny today. I think Paul means you could just delay your wedding until the pandemic's over, until the famine's ceased. You could wait. Verse 38, those two conclusions are both good. Neither is sin. You can do either. And even though Paul says, verse 38, that refraining from marriage, postponing your engagement, that is the better thing to do. If you just flick back to verse 9, he says there that it's better to marry than to burn with passion. So these aren't absolute betters and worsts. Paul just wants us to see that we are free to stay where we are. You really can if you want to. Third conclusion, widows, you could marry again. You could marry another Christian. But Paul thinks you'd be happier if you stayed single. There we go. I know that was a run through the chapter on a hot day. Do you get the big thing Paul is saying? You don't need to move over there to serve Jesus, to please Jesus. You can please Jesus where you are. You don't need to change the stuff of this spare life. Therefore, don't overvalue the gifts of this passing world. Marriage is good, singleness is good, work is good, passports are good, but it doesn't really matter which you have. Unless you're applying for a visa to a certain country. No, it just doesn't really matter which you have that much. Because that's all the stuff of this spare life. It's not ultimate. Don't overvalue these things. You can stay single. You can get married. You can stay married. You can keep your job. You could live all your life in Leipzig, a member of this church, never changing the flat you're in, and doing nothing of any bucket list. And you could live a great life if you were dedicating that life here to pleasing the Lord Jesus. But if you do move or change, that's okay too. Don't worry about it. The important thing is please the Lord Jesus when you move and change. Don't overvalue gifts that belong to this passing world. And lastly, don't undervalue God's call. the most important thing that could ever happen to you has already happened to you if you're a Christian. God has called you to Jesus. Because of that call, you now will live twice. When you die, all that will happen is that your spare life will be over. And the ultimate life, the life that will never end, then it'll begin. Do not undervalue how good God has been in calling you. And because of God's call, because you will live twice, you can miss out on some of God's gifts in this dusty spare life. And you can please the Lord Jesus wherever you are. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you know what our hearts are like, and you know that for many of us this is hard stuff to hear for all sorts of different reasons, because there are parts of our lives we would really, really like to change. Father, please help us to believe what you say. Write it on our hearts, we pray. And give us, above all, a heart that is not lost in the things of this spare life, but a heart that loves to please the Lord Jesus, because he has been so very kind to us. In Jesus' name, amen.